Whatever happened to the wasps? Not the insects, but the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who have long been considered the dominant socio-cultural political force in America. While this group's centrality has certainly been challenged, it remains a potent force, according to Michael Gross, author of the new book, Flight of the Wasp: The Rise, Fall, and Future of America's Original Ruling Class. Michael is a writer and editor whose work focuses on the upper class. He's written for Vanity Fair, Esquire, GQ, Town and Country, and the New York Times, and has authored 12 books. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
My name is Michael Gross, and I've always been fascinated with the so-called beautiful people. I've covered them as a reporter for decades, and I've written books about rock stars, supermodels, and fashion photographers, and for the last 20 years, the American elite. I've written about their mansions in Bel Air and Beverly Hills, their cooperative apartments at 740 Park Avenue, their penthouses at 15 Central Park West, and their cultural philanthropy at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. My latest book is Flight of the Wasp: The Rise, Fall, and Future of America's Original Ruling Class. It's the story of this country told through 15 founding families over 400 years. Writing the book, I realized there are five things everyone needs to know about the people who invented America, monopolized its history until the last few decades, and still have things to teach us about ourselves. Insight number one, who are the WASPs? The acronym for white Anglo-Saxon Protestants is a bit of a misnomer. Most of the first American colonists were white and Protestant, but they were not all English. England's Anglo-Saxons came from today's Germany, Denmark, and the Netherlands, and they were heavily influenced by the Celts, the Romans, and the Norman French. All they initially shared was the Reformation, which began as a religious movement in Germany and added a political dimension as it spread across Western Europe to America. It included the Puritans, who settled New England and parts of the mid-Atlantic coast, the English-born Anglicans, who first colonized Virginia and Maryland, French Huguenots scattered all along the Atlantic coastline, Dutch Reformed church members who settled New Amsterdam, today's New York, and Pennsylvania's Quakers. My book focuses on 10 individuals, as well as the families that preceded them and the offspring who followed them. Insight number two, WASPs tell a crucial slice of American history. They are the protagonists in the creation of a nation and a national ethos, as well as of the shame and stain left by the practice of slavery, the oppression of Native Americans, and systematic racism, intolerance, and misogyny. In both their accomplishments and the betrayal of ideals, they illuminate America's transformations in the 400 years since the Mayflower's arrival. Despite the manifest weaknesses and multitude of sins of America's WASP elite, they still have reason for pride. Though their values were too often more honored in the breach than the observance, they did define an enduring American ideal, a national character that respects and elevates tradition, leadership, service, honor, duty, modesty, restraint, stoicism, moral authority, courage, grace, noblesse oblige, cultivation, humility, responsibility, lack of pretension, or boiled down to their collective essence, simple civility. America's WASPs also aspired to civic virtue, setting high standards in government, business, and other spheres of public life as they built national institutions and industries, innovating as well as exploiting in government, law, finance, transportation, agriculture, commerce, defense, education, energy, health, urban development, and philanthropy. But WASP selfishness and arrogance, vanity, and their thirst for power too often negated those enduring accomplishments. Their prideful belief in their own perfectibility led to their downfall as the stain of their embrace of slavery, genocide, and sexism, and their abject misuse of their sweeping social and economic power spread, darkening their story, sapping their energy, depleting that power, and finally taking it from them. Flight of the Wasp has 10 lead characters. It begins with William Bradford, a religious dissenter who left England for the Netherlands before sailing to Massachusetts on the Mayflower and becoming the first and longtime governor of the Plymouth Colony, as well as its largest landholder. Governor Morris, the reluctant revolutionary, lascivious libertine, and least known founding father, primary author of the U.S. Constitution, became the new nation's ambassador to France before and during its revolution. Back in America, he speculated in real estate while also helping plan New York City's street grid and the Erie Canal. John Jack Randolph, scion of one of Virginia's fabled first families, a deeply conflicted slave owner who railed against human bondage but never freed a single one of his slaves, is the third main character. He was also gender fluid, an on-and-off drug addict, and the fiercest advocate of states' rights in the U.S. Congress. He would later be proclaimed the father of American conservatism. Nicholas Biddle, the offspring of prominent Quakers, an erudite, handsome, highly social eminence, edited the journals of Lewis and Clark and a literary magazine. He championed neoclassical design after becoming the second only American to ever visit Greece. Biddle then ran the Second Bank of the United States, forerunners of today's Federal Reserve, where he ran afoul of the anti-elitist President Jackson, who destroyed his reputation before Biddle died in disgrace. Lewis Cass, the longtime governor of the Michigan Territory, was the author of Jackson's brutal policy of pushing Native Americans onto reservations west of the Mississippi River. And before the Civil War, he was a Northern Democrat who became a pro-slavery candidate for President of the United States. Henry Shelton Sanford, a New England carpet and tack heir, founded America's first overseas espionage network for President Lincoln during the Civil War. But trying to support an extravagant lifestyle, he repeatedly failed in business, and finally enabled King Leopold of Belgium's theft and rape of the African Congo. Yet Shelton was the first to see the potential of Florida's tourism and citrus industries, and can really be called the first Florida man. George Peabody epitomized greed and accumulation, but he also became one of America's first philanthropists. The father of today's J.P. Morgan Chase banking behemoth, he gave J. Pierpont Morgan his start in business. But then he reneged on a promise to let Morgan use his name and his fortune, giving it away instead. Williams Collins Whitney's family married into the Bradford family, setting him on a course to power and wealth. He was the modernizer of the U.S. Navy, then a behind-the-scenes political fixer and one of the founders of New York City's transit system. Finally, he'd be remembered as the founder of one of America's greatest inherited family fortunes of the Gilded Age. Henry Fairfield Osborne, the eminent paleontologist who headed the American Museum of Natural History for decades, made it a world-class institution. But he destroyed his own reputation by embracing eugenics, the pseudoscience that sought to legitimize white supremacy and Adolf Hitler's Nazis. And finally, Michael Butler, the bisexual scion of the family that created the Butler Paper and Butler Aviation Empires, romanced Audrey Hepburn, Rock Hudson, and Tyrone Power, married and divorced three times, produced the Broadway phenomenon Hair, but followed that undeniable accomplishments with decades of harebrained schemes that led to his ignominious bankruptcy. Insight number three. Are WASPs irrelevant today? Obituaries for the American WASP began appearing with regularity in the 1960s, and certainly they are no longer the dominant socio-cultural political force in America that they once were. Yet when America's 41st president, George H.W. Bush, died in 2018, midway through the Trump presidency, his passing set off a torrent of WASP nostalgia, mourning the loss of WASP virtues that gave voice to a yearning for a revival of the ideals of the Enlightenment that were the foundation of the American national experiment. Insight number four. How do contemporary members of these families approach their WASP inheritance? Since the late 20th century, members of these families have taken three paths into the future: self-indulgence, escape, and engagement. Sometimes staying on one path, sometimes changing direction. Not surprisingly, the results have varied. Whitney Tower Jr., a descendant of William Bradford, became a degenerate drug addict and then a drug counselor. Scions of Governor Morris and Nicholas Biddle, the controversial head of the Second Bank, are proudly gay. Penelope Tree and Frankie Fitzgerald, both relatives of George Peabody, are respectively a Buddhist fashion icon and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author. Their great-grandfather Endicott founded Groton, the elite boarding school. Their grandmother was arrested in a civil rights protest in the 1960s. And their mother ignored her daughters, preferring her life as a socialite, a Democratic Party activist, and presidential candidate Adlai Stevenson's lover. Gertrude and Bokara Bobo Legendre, the granddaughter and great-granddaughter of Henry Shelton Sanford, lived off what remained of their family's fortune. Gertrude, a big game hunter, was captured and briefly imprisoned by the Nazis. Bobo, the daughter Gertrude alternately ignored and manipulated, became a quintessential WASP dilettante. And generations after Henry Fairfield Osborne destroyed his reputation by championing racism, his relative Frederick Henry Osborne III became a pillar of the Episcopal Church and a noted Hudson Valley philanthropist. Insight number 5. What role might the best WASP virtues play in America's future? We live in a socio-political moment that's normalized tribalism, anger, emotion, blind loyalty, and a generalized lust for retribution. Our body politic is full of poison. We can't board a plane, stand on a checkout line, eat in a restaurant, or walk down the street, let alone talk about politics or social policy, without getting into bitter arguments. WASPs argued, too, as they won and exercised their power over more than 3 centuries in America, and over the course of 15 generations, they husbanded, spent, and then frittered away their capital, both financial and otherwise, until they were considered irretrievably broken, if not entirely broke, at the dawn of the 21st century. It may be counterintuitive, but my study of WASP families that have endured all of it argues for a renewed appreciation of some white Anglo-Saxon Protestant virtues. And that has created an opportunity for the WASPs, that ever smaller percentage of our citizenry, to remind America of its foundational ideal. There is a yawning void where the best of WASP culture might make a difference again. Instead of injecting more poison into the body politic, the sting of the WASP could now serve as an antidote, reminding us that there is an alternative to our present selfish, narcissistic, tribal, atomized condition, a possibility of restoring America's civic conscience, its collective purpose, and our national community. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Michael. That was Michael Gross with 5 big ideas from Flight of the WASP, The Rise, Fall, and Future of America's Original Ruling Class. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.